This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
American Public University supports military families by helping them save on an education that goes wherever life leads. Learn online at your own pace for just $250 per credit hour. Visit apu.apus.edu/military.
Introducing Pura Scent Design. With Pura Smart Diffusers, you can seamlessly transform your home to match every mood. Elevate your space with the perfect balance of fragrance and innovation, giving you the power to intentionally curate every room. With over 200 scents from top brands in Pura's marketplace, designing custom scentscapes has never been easier. Pura, life is better when it smells good. Learn more at pura.com.
Dear winter, Toyota can't get enough of you. Because Toyota's got 25 vehicles with available all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive. And that's more than any other auto brand. From the versatile RAV4 to the svelte Crown. The sleek Camry all-wheel drive. The Corolla Hybrid all-wheel drive. The rugged Tacoma. The tenacious Tundra. And the spacious Grand Highlander with all-wheel drive to keep you and yours safe. Hey, you bring the action, we'll bring the traction. Always Toyota. Toyota, let's go places. Based on manufacturer's websites as of 10-2024.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
A numbers game continues here, taking you through a Tuesday morning on this February 18th edition of The Big Show. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo. As we get ready for a locked and loaded Tuesday night college hoops slate, who better to welcome into the program than VSiN's own Will Hill, host of the Shoulda Bet More pod. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, of course, at NotTheWillHill. Still one of the best Twitter usernames of all time. Will, it's a pleasure to have you on, man. How are you? And I have a feeling we're on the same side here. What's your favorite college hoops play for the night?
Boys, what's going on? I feel like as a sports fan, especially doing content, we made it through the weekend. Let's be honest. This past weekend if you can get through this past weekend doing sports, doing content, you can kind of make it through everything. After this, yeah. Not too far from these conference tournaments and then March Madness, then we're in good shape.
But we missed you last week. It feels like I haven't seen you in a month. That's what it's been like the past week and a half. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. happy to be on with you guys. Good Tuesday slate, and they don't really balance these slates well. Where Monday you don't have much, Friday you don't have much, Sunday, and then Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they throw everything at you. I will start with, I think, my favorite play, and I hate betting this team. This is nowhere near the team that's won the last two national titles, but this is a home run spot here for UConn off what was just an unthinkable, impossible, disgraceful loss against Seton Hall, where not only Seton Hall is just a dead team, one of the worst teams in terms of the Power Five, where they've been getting killed by everybody, losing to these awful teams. UConn's a 14.5-point favorite. To lose that is as bad as it gets. But to be up 7 with 35 seconds left, be up 5 with 50 seconds left in overtime, can't inbounds the ball, and you lose that game, I'm sure they've done nothing but run sprints, run stairs, and have miserable practices the last 2-3 days since that game. 8.5, that's a lot to lay with this UConn team who, look, they've got plenty of flaws, but they lost to Nova already. Caravan missed a couple of free throws in what could have been, should have been a win for UConn. So everything lines up here for just a home run spot for UConn. Nova doesn't really, get to the foul line, which is one of the weaknesses of UConn. They foul a lot. Nova's not going to force turnovers. UConn can be prone to that. So this UConn team has plenty of flaws. I just don't know if Nova's the team to expose those flaws. And again, this is an absolute home run spot for UConn. So maybe you figure the motivation, the tough practices, the everything that happened Saturday, maybe you look at it and say first half is where they're just going to come out with their hair on fire, and you want to lay the four with the first half instead of getting involved in the full game where, you know what, anything can happen late in the game where a spread around 7 or 8, free throws, late three, something like that. Maybe you just want to play that angle if they're going to come out inspired early on and you play the first half. I'll probably play a little of each, but I will be on the Huskies here tonight.
Yeah, this is if you're interested in that side, get in now. This is pretty much out to 8.5, 9 pretty much everywhere. Yeah, on the UConn side. I mean, when Will makes bets, the market listens. Yeah. So be careful out there. A&M Mississippi State. I know the guy next to me is interested in this game tonight. How about you?
I like A&M. A&M is 4-3 in true road games, but you have to include two. One game they won in Indianapolis against Purdue, so they really should be 5-3 in road games. One of those losses to Kentucky, and then the other two losses are by a combined 4 points. So in a college basketball landscape atmosphere where it's so hard to win on the road, they've really held their own, and it makes sense. They get offensive rebounds. They turn you over. They don't turn it over. They really do a good job of just winning the shot volume, the possession battle, and just getting extra possessions. Wade Taylor's had an up-and-down year. He's had some injuries, been kind of on and off, but he's a tremendous player, tremendous shooter. They can shoot it. They're tough. They check a lot of boxes. You know, it's hard in the SEC to give them too many accolades because you look around, there's 3 or 4 or 5 other teams that are, you know, just as good on a given night. But this A&M team, I think they're Final Four good. I think they have a different gear than Mississippi State. So I will take the 2.5 here against Mississippi State, what I think is a toss-up game where I would slightly lean towards A&M winning. I just think A&M has more ways to beat you than Mississippi State does.
Well, I'm with you 1,000% on that play. And, you know, last night I could have taken Arizona catching two. I went money line there. I think I'm like you in this one where I'm going to take the points. It just, this A&M team being on the road doesn't faze them. Buzz Williams has full command of this squad. Is it just me? How reminiscent are they, in your opinion, of St. John's? I feel like these teams are very similar to one another.
Yep, a lot of similarities. And I would say A&M even shoots a little better because we know St. John's, as good of a story as that is. And I'm anxious to check out. I guess there's this all access show they're doing on St. John's. It's on Vice Network, yeah. Vice TV, which I haven't watched in a while, but I've seen some of the clips. I don't know if you guys have seen this, of Patino just undressing his team at halftime, calling him out, calling him soft, swearing at him. You kind of miss that old school coaching. So I'll be interested to check out that show. But yeah, A&M's really good. It's just, man, you look at this SEC. It's a situation where the SEC tournament might be harder than the NCAA tournament. That is just a loaded, loaded conference.
There's going to be a lot of value on that SEC tournament board. And I'm glad you brought up the Patino bit, because I actually saw that for the first time scrolling Twitter last night. And I was absolutely obsessed with his halftime, his locker room speeches. I mean, that guy is just one in a million. One more college hoops play. BYU, Kansas. When this opened at BYU, it says -1.5 is where it opened. I saw 2.5 at first glance. I was waiting for Kansas money to come in, but the markets moved towards the Cougars laying 3-3 and a hook. What do you think about this one? I wanted to get BYU as a home dog. It doesn't look like we're going to get there.
Yeah, another one. We're kind of late to the party with the number here. Kelly, we got to move this show to like midnight or the middle of the night so we can can get some better numbers here.
Or you could come on cashing out when I'm back on
yeah,
next week.
That will, yeah.
We'll do it that way, too. We'll do it that way. A lot of ideas being thrown around. I like BYU here. Very rarely do I look at KenPom's numbers and just scratch my head. Usually you look at it, you know what? They're respected numbers. They usually make sense with the sort of eye test. If you watch enough of this stuff, everything lines up. Kansas, I think they're 16th in KenPom. To me, they don't look like they like playing with each other. They don't make a lot of threes. They don't take a lot of threes. That was an awful loss against Utah, who ran them out of the building early. I know they made a late run, but there's just all sorts of flaws with this Kansas team. BYU is kind of a shot quality darling, especially at home. They get good shots. Not a great defensive team, but I think BYU has enough to win this game by 5 to 7 plus points. I'm down on this Kansas team. I'm especially down on this Kansas team on the road here. So I will take BYU laying the points at home.
Like it. We'll transition over to baseball. Season starting soon. We haven't talked to you in a few weeks about baseball bets. Anything that you've added to the account you're loving right now?
Yeah, as a Yankee fan, I hate to admit it, but I believe in the Red Sox. I think you can get them like -120 to make the playoffs. If you want to shoot for the stars, down to 22-1. If you see it, DraftKings, maybe shop around, maybe you can get a better number. Always shop around, but maybe you get a better number on winning the whole thing, just because that's a really good team. I mean, that was a competitive team. They were in the playoff mix until late last year. They kind of ran out of steam. They didn't have enough talent, but they had Crochet, who's as good as it gets. you know, outside of maybe Scooble, his stuff is as good as anyone. You're going to put him on a good team. Walker Buehler kind of found himself the last month of the season. Bregman is a winning player. He's been in winning environments. He's going to hit a million doubles in that ballpark. I know there's the drama with Devers and where he's going to play, and that's a real thing because
that was great.
You know, yeah, that could be an issue. Maybe he needs to talk to Ortiz and realize, you know what, maybe playing DH is not the worst thing in the world. I know a lot of players don't like that, but they've got a good manager, a good home field advantage, and they've got a bunch of these prospects from being pretty bad the past 5 or 6 years overall. The Roman Anthony's, the Marcelo Myers of the world, where those guys could either come up in the middle of the season. Those guys could be trade chips, although some of those guys sound like they might be so good they're untouchable. But I think in an American League where Houston's in kind of a mini rebuild, the Yankees lost Soto, Baltimore's good, but they haven't proven anything. We saw last year in the playoffs, the AL Central teams are a little bit of paper tigers. Texas has to stay healthy. Seattle can't really hit. You just go down the line. The National League is much better than the American League.
Oh, yeah.
I think the American League is primed for one of these teams from the middle of the pack last year to be able to step up. The Red Sox getting in and winning a series, being in an ALCS, maybe even winning a division, I don't think any of that is far-fetched. Again, I can't stand the Red Sox. Pains me to admit it, but you got to call it like you see it when you're doing this stuff. And I do think the Red Sox are a really good, really dangerous team.
Look, like I said on Valentine's Day, Red Sox division plus 425. I love that more than I will ever love another human being will. How about a former Red Sox? How about Terry Francona now running the Reds in the National League? I might have been a little too early to the party with Cincinnati last year, but what do you think about this team coming into 2025?
Yeah, that was a kind of a trendy team last year, too. I was with you. I thought they would be better. Maybe we were a year early. Sometimes it's the year after the hype. I think Francona is going to bring some professionalism. You add Brady Singer to the rotation. Now, these guys have to stay healthy. The Hunter Greens of the world, the Lodolos especially. Lodolos always hurt, but there's a lot of talent. And they get Spencer Steer back, who projected to hit 30, 35 homers the last time we saw him play in some limited at-bats. De La Cruz is a year older. He's going to turn into a star. And they were unfortunate in one-run games last year. Really, really bad record where they're well under 500 overall, but they outscored their opponents total by 5 runs. And that's a division where as good as the National League is, there's no Dodgers, there's no Mets and Phillies and Braves. In the Central, okay, the Cubs may be a little bit better. The Brewers always do more with less. But if there's ever a division in the National League where you can jump up and steal the division with 89, 91 wins, something like that, I think it's the NL Central. So I think we could see a big leap here for the Reds. There's a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah, look, they're an intriguing team in a wide-open division. I think it's going to be fun to keep an eye on them. Maybe another intriguing team out west here. It's funny, you look at DraftKings when they have the win totals, and it's always the city, alphabetical order. Baltimore, Boston, Chicago. Well, then you just have the Athletics. No home, no city, just hanging out there with a win total of 71 and a hook. Any intrigue on the homeless Athletics?
It's so funny you pointed that out because I was just looking for their win total on DraftKings and I was flipping out. Why can't I bet on the damn Oakland Athletics win total? And I realized the A's were at the top, so that threw me for a loop. I'll go over 71.5. They got 69 last year. Them getting 3 more wins. They had Severino. They had Jeffrey Springs. That was a good sort of underrated bettor's darling last year. There's more talent than I think people realize. I think they're better than the Angels. Them getting to like 75, maybe even pushing for 80-ish wins, I don't think is far-fetched. I think there's some talent there.
I like it. Great stuff, Will. As always, it was great having you on, man. Thanks so much for the time.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for having me.
Follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill, and make sure you check out the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Bold take. Better than the Angels. I mean, hey, if you have guys on your roster that actually like baseball, unlike Anthony Rendon, I guess that's a step in the right direction for Oakland. Or just the Athletics, I should say.
That's right, yeah.
He's Kelly Bedlin. I'm Joe Cirillo. More Numbers Game after the break.
Looking to buy your first car or home? Understanding your FICO score is key to achieving your life goals. Knowing your FICO scores helps you apply for loans with confidence and avoid surprises. With MyFICO, you get access to your FICO score, credit reports, 24/7 monitoring, and alerts on the go. Take the mystery out of your score and get your FICO score for free today. Visit myfico.com/free and discover the score lenders use most.
At Mercedes-Benz, there's a reason we go the extra mile. From testing our vehicles in desert heat and Arctic cold to creating AI that can anticipate your needs and preferences on the road, we demand that every car is worthy of our star because it's Mercedes-Benz.
What's better than a credit card with low interest? How about one with no interest? For a limited time, when you open a new America First Visa credit card, you'll enjoy 0% APR for the first 6 months. Transfer your balances from higher rate cards to your new America First card to consolidate debt and potentially save yourself a lot of money. That's zero interest for 6 months. Interested? Then hurry to AmericaFirst.com to apply today. Introductory variable annual percentage rate is subject to membership, eligibility, terms, creditworthiness, change, and conditions. Other limits and requirements may apply. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal opportunity lender.
The ability to protect our savings and hold on to wealth we can pass down gets harder every day. While currencies rise and fall, one asset has stood the test of time: physical gold. Many are turning to physical gold and silver to help protect accounts like IRAs and 401ks. Text the word IHEART to 50505. Preserve Gold is giving away a free precious metals guide on how to help protect your account and get up to $15,000 in free gold and silver with a qualified purchase. Text IHEART to 50505 to claim this offer from Preserve Gold today. PreserveGold.com/iHeart.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game continues with Kelly Bedlin and myself, Joe Cirola, taking you through a Tuesday morning. And folks, make sure you take VSiN with you anywhere, anytime. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Stay connected to the action wherever you go with the new and improved VSiN Watch app, available on your phone, tablet, and even your smart TV. With the VSiN Watch app, you get 24/7 live access to our audio and video streams, replays of your favorite shows, like a numbers game, so you never miss a moment, big screen streaming straight to your smart TV, and so much more. Watch VSiN anywhere, anytime. Download the VSiN Watch app today. I gotta say, Kelly, almost got me there with that read. Almost said favorite show like Cashing Out. Almost did it. Didn't do it.
Ah, we're still at so you're jinxing yourself even more.
No. I'm proving that jinxes don't exist.
So we're one day later, so I can't necessarily move up the juice, but I'm going to say it's up to like minus one. It's at like minus 160.
You want proof that jinxes don't exist?
Yeah.
So we all saw that picture on Valentine's Day, right? Of 12-year-old Joe, the little slugger,
right? Yeah, little chubby Joe.
So that's Little League World Series year. I was also pitching, right? In addition to playing first base, hitting cleanup, I was a pitcher. Threw a no-hitter that year, right? First one of my life. As, you know, Little
League. First one? So there were more?
First one. Little League, you know, we got pitch count, pitch limits, right? So it was like 85 or 75. Oh, my God. You guys saved that?
Joey.
That was supposed to be like Snapchat style. Never seen again, you know? One time send and then make it disappear, please. So what's the pitch limit was like 75, right? So throwing a no-hitter or any complete game, especially difficult at that age because they're so, you know, into kids' health, as they should be, and arm injuries and whatnot. So I'm out there, and it's the final inning, the sixth inning. I'm approaching my pitch limit. Mind you, I had four walks in the game. So my dad, who's the manager, didn't realize I was throwing a no-hitter because there had been guys on base. Four walks, two errors. There had been six base runners total. So I'm looking tired, one out in the last inning. He starts walking towards the mound, and I go, Dad, what are you? And I never called him Dad. I always called him Coach.
Yeah.
But he starts walking. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? And he's like, Man, you pitched great. We're up like 15-1. They did score a run because of the walks and whatnot. We're up like 15-1. He goes, Man, you pitched great. You know, I'm gonna let I think the kid's name was John. I'm gonna let John take it from here. And I go, he's walking to the mound, and audibly for everyone to hear, I go, I'm throwing a no-hitter. You're not taking me out. So at that point, he goes to the bench coach, asks him, Hey, Carl, does he really have a no-hitter? Carl pulls up the box score.
Carl.
Yeah, he's got a no-hitter, George. All right, cool. Stay in there. And at that point now, it's like, oh, shoot, pressure's on. I better finish this, you know, because I just said it for everyone to hear. Got the last two outs, got the no-hitter. So jinxes do not exist.
Okay, there you go.
That's the moral of the story.
So when was your next no-hitter?
Next no-hitter was a year later.
Wow, look at Joe Cirola.
That was the last.
That was the last.
Yeah. Okay. Folks, we got tweets. Make sure you tweet at the show, at Kelly Bidlin, at the Joe Cirola. We've got one from at Colin_Murphy84, who says, I got JVT onto this bet last week at 17-1, but Toronto to participate in the play-in is still 11-1 on DraftKings. Do the Bulls and Nets want to win? And Philly stinks.
I mean, who knows?
Could you get there on Toronto for the play-in?
Probably not, but I can't argue the price. When you're looking at something that long, so they are okay. I mean, they're five games out of the play-in right now, so the price is pretty correct. I get why there might 17-1 to 11-1. Look, I'm high on them. I'm not as high on these all these teams in between, so I cannot argue anybody that's making this bet. We kind of just went through all of them. We broke down already kind of difference between Brooklyn and Toronto. I do think Brooklyn will slide back a bit. A lot of this is very much Philadelphia dependent, more so than Chicago. I think there's a really good chance that all three of those Southeast Division teams, Orlando, Atlanta, Miami, end up in that 7-10 range, and then we're only talking about room for one more. So is it Chicago, Brooklyn, Philly, Toronto is what you got to ask yourself. And I think it just goes back to, like, look, if Embiid's out there and the guys are out there for Philly, they're probably going to stumble their way into the play-in tournament. So I wouldn't be – I don't know I'd be go running to bet this. If Philly I knew was out of the way, Joe, then, yeah, sure, I'd be picking Toronto over Chicago, Brooklyn. I think there's a chance that they get there. Chicago messed around, though, and still left some talent on their roster, too. So they're going to end up, for like the fourth consecutive year, going to end up winning more games than they should care about winning. And it might end up with them in the 10 seed because of that.
I mean, this Toronto team, you know, look, we always look at them from a covering perspective, right? They're a frisky team. And you look at that easy schedule they've got, leaps and bounds easier than any other team in the association. At 11-1. It's hard to say it's a bad bet. Yeah. Certainly can't say it's a bad bet. I'm intrigued. By the way, you know, you and Drew Kelly were talking about a lot of unders for some of the premier teams in the East. I mean, pretty much every team seeded 1-6. You guys, or more so Drew, and then you on the Bucks were intrigued by the under. To your point about the Boston Celtics, I wanted to circle back on this. Because this is, you know, some of the very little NBA betting that I actually do. It's win totals at the All-Star break. I don't do it, or this year, I should say, I didn't do any preseason win totals. But last year at the All-Star break, the Boston Celtics were 43-12, and I believe their total was 62.5. I went over. They needed to go 20-7 to get home on that.
And they didn't lose a game for the next like 3 weeks or something like that.
They went 21-6 and they got over that at 64-18. Right now, what do they need to do to go over your 59.5 mark? They need to go 21-6. The same exact record they had post All-Star break last year. The Celtics to me looked disinterested earlier in the season. That's gone. They're playing terrific basketball right now. Jason Tatum, who was struggling for a bit earlier in the year, looked like he got off to a pretty slow start. He's playing out of his mind right now. I love the Celtics to go 21-6 the rest of the way with the, what, third easiest schedule in the NBA. I like the Celtics over 59.5. Plus 105, too.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Like I was saying, I would still lean over. That was one of those, I kind of got excited when I was breaking it down, and I went to go check what the win total was, and I was like, oh, man, like, they've got it set up well. Because most of where we're at, most of these win totals, you're not asking these teams to win that many games as the Celtics are set at to get over what their current win total number's at. So it's understandable. I think that there is, as far as the Celtics, I'm interested in what they're going to look like long-term here just because, I think it is a mix of some real concerns and some of them just kind of sleepwalking through the regular season, and they will turn it on when the playoffs come. I do think that's a bit of it. I do. I know we like to throw stuff around like that in sports, and it's usually not true. I think there's some of that going on with Boston. Drew Holiday, though, he's having an off season, and it looks like he's finally hitting that point in his career where he's maybe not going to be as quite a big of a contributor. So I think that's a real factor that this team had. I mean, last year was part of what made them so special is the production that they were getting out of guys like Derek White and Drew Holiday. And we saw rolling to the Olympics how important those two players were, even compared to the two stars that are on the Celtics team. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what this team looks like once they get to the playoffs. And really, throughout the end of the season, if they decide they need to, you know, lock in and focus a little bit more towards this, you know, this final stretch to go into the playoff side.
Yeah, so it's funny because you mentioned that they were kind of sleepwalking earlier in the year, and I think that's the perfect way to put it. But you look at what they do against quality opponents, right? Since 2025 hit at Denver, a 12-point win. You know, you've got Orlando, who was still a month ago considered a quality opponent, 30-point win. At Golden State, a 40-point win, right? I mean, you know, at Dallas, they won by 15. I know they actually just lost to Dallas, but even let's, you know, look at it more of a micro scale. Wins in seven of their last eight. At Philly, they take care of business, 8-point win. At Cleveland, 7-point win. At the these are all on the road, too. I mean, they've won seven of eight. Five of those games have come on the road. They go to MSG. They beat the Knicks. They kick their ass, beat them by 27. So this Celtics team turning it up. Go to Miami, beat them by you know, 18. 21-6 down the stretch. Easy schedule like they have. Yeah, I think that's going to be my play in the Eastern Conference. Now, I want to go a little off script here. I know we're doing the Western Conference tomorrow. One team I just can't help but look at and think I got to go under. Thoughts on the Phoenix Suns? Any early thoughts?
Under or nothing. I mean, this stretch could be disastrous.
If they play 500 the rest of the way, it's an under. 14-14 is an under.
Yeah, I didn't really dig into the West yet.
It's 40.5. Over -115, under -105, so a little better value on the under. But 40.5. So if they go 14-14 with the toughest remaining schedule in the NBA, you get an under. I mean, how do you not play it?
Yeah, it might need to be. Those are all good points. I mean, right now they're on the outside looking in for the play-in tournament.
That's where they'll stay.
And I mean, honestly, Joe, they could. I mean, this could turn real bad. Who knows? Apparently Kevin Durant met with the front office and talked this through, and everybody's good now. But they've still got Bradley Beal coming off the bench, I guess, because they weren't able to move him. And remember, this was a send him to the bench. Because we're going to try to get him to agree to waive his no-trade clause so he gets traded. Okay, he doesn't get traded. Now you're all coming back to this awkward situation where Durant thought he might get traded, Beal thought he was going to get traded, and you expect everybody to come back together and gel like it's no big deal. Yeah, there's some major concerns there. I mean, I guess we got to throw out the caveat of, yes, they still have the talent that this. Maybe they turn things around and they look better than they have, but they would need to look better than they have ever looked with these three players on the team, with Booker, Durant, and Beal, and that's just something I can't get behind right now, so it would be under.
I don't see it changing. I mean, they've had the talent all year. They're 26-28. They're the worst ATS team in the league, and frankly, that story about Durant management talking and everything good, I think it's BS. Yep. That's how I feel. You know it's not BS? Getting best bets from Paul Carr up next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Folks, in sports betting and trading, probability is a key to success. Discover the power of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horowitz, former floor trader and sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Just go to bubbatrading.com/VSiN. You'll get a free ebook on options trading and use the code VSiN500 to save $500 on any purchase. A Numbers Game continues alongside Kelly Bidlin, Joe Cirillo here as we get ready to talk some Champions League action via the Progressive Guest Line with our friend from True Media Sports. Catch him on the Expected Value podcast, Paul Carr, joining the show. Paul, it's great to have you on. I feel like we're talking every other day. I'm sure you can't wait for Gil to return. You must be sick of me by now, man.
I mean, I'm going to have to check terms of my contract, but I'm here, so I guess might as well do the segment.
Yeah.
Another 3-0 weekend, Paul. You know you're back right after that. Are you kidding me? I was telling Joe, I'm like, I'm out Friday night and run into Paul, another Paul, who's a fan of the show, great guy, run into him, and he's like, Kelly, what are you betting? And he's like, you got any bets this week? And I'm like, NBA's on break. I got nothing. I'm going to be relaxing. And he's like, man, I need some bets. I'm like, well, Paul Carr's probably got some soccer. He's been on a heater. And I wake up the next day, 3-0. Okay. Boom. Another one.
That was messed up. You were gatekeeping your Tyler Hero 7-1 to win the 3-point contest that got home?
That's a good point. I guess I could have given that one.
That was really messed up. Well, you know, that's what happens when you're, you know, 8 Miller Lights deep throwing beer bottles at people at Planet Hollywood,
that's right.
Kelly.
Yeah, that's me.
Paul, I want to get your advice on how to bet second legs here in the Champions League, because I'm looking at DraftKings right now and I'm seeing Atalanta, a team that we talked about a week ago. I believe they were, 30-1 in the futures market here when you came on last week. They're -$2, it says, under Moneyline regular time. Then to advance, it's a friendlier price. -145 was -130 earlier in the morning. So what's the difference between those bets, those prices? How do you dive into that here for a second leg?
Yeah, second legs are one of the weirder markets in any sport to bet because of the different ways you can do it. So the first leg was last week. It's aggregate score over the two legs. If they are tied on aggregate after the two legs, they go to extra time. But most of your bets that you can make do not include that extra time. So we'll use the Atalanta example. They're minus 200 or so to win the match. That means to win in 90 minutes. So they have to win this specific leg, 1-0, 2-0, doesn't matter. They have to win it. To advance, they're in the minus 130 to minus 150 range. That just means they have to go through. So that means they could do it. That includes extra time, basically. So if they won this match in regulation 1-0, it would go to extra time. And then if Atalanta won in extra time or advanced on penalties, you would win your two advance bet. So you just got to know if you're betting on this match specifically, it's usually a 90-minute bet. And if it's to advance or to qualify, then it's just what happens at the end, regardless of how you get there.
All right, so you break it down for us. Now what's your best play in this match?
Yeah, for Atalanta. So I like them to win this match. No, wait, I have them to advance. Sorry.
confusing myself.
Yeah, seriously. I've been staring at these numbers for too long. They're all shifting like crazy. So I played this at minus 130 yesterday to advance. Club Brugge won the first leg 2-1, so Atalanta is down, but they're still favored to go through because they're a much better team. Brugge only won on a kind of a joke penalty late in the game where a guy basically scratched the other guy's nose and got called for a penalty on it. Adamola Lookman is one of Atalanta's best attackers. He should be back. They're just a much better team. They're playing at home. Brugge has not been as good on the road as they have been at home. So I like Atalanta to advance at minus 130. This is shifted down closer to minus 150, which is as low as I would go with it here. But Atalanta to advance.
Any thoughts? We did have Drew Dinzik on earlier, who gave out a surprise play in this game too, Paul. He was laying the he was going to go lay the goal and a half with Atalanta.
I don't mind that either. Okay. It was plus 150 yesterday. I don't know if it's quite that good now, but I was basically debating between those two plays. I ended up just going with to advance. But if you want a little bit more return, if you want to play minus 1.5, getting plus money, I don't mind that either.
So keep in mind, though, this goes back to what Paul just broke down. That 1.5, right, you're laying in 90
That's
minutes,
regulation.
not into extra time. So that is important. Yeah. You got a couple more on the board. These are all on Wednesday, I believe, bets for you.
Yep. Yeah, we'll start with AC Milan and Feyenoord. This one has shifted well against me. So I played under 2.5 at plus 125. This is around plus 150, plus 160 now. So obviously, bad CLV by me here. But let's go to the first leg first. Feyenoord won that one 1-0. They defended really well, and Milan did not attack very well. Only had about half an expected goal on 12 shots, so that's not very good. But Feyenoord's defense, I don't know if they're that good or not, or if it's Milan bad attack. But one way or the other, I think this will be a tight game because a 1-0 game at least gets it to extra time in Milan's favor. So I think that's what they're going to try to do. 1-0, 2-0, something like that. If you're Feyenoord and you get a goal, you're just going to, have 11 guys inside the box and defend like crazy. So even though it's moved against me, I still like that number under 2.5. I like it better at that number. I think that's the way this one is more likely to go. Obviously, these are the kinds of matchups where one goal and things just get weird in these second legs. So unders are a little, they're not my favorite bet to make, but I like this, especially getting the plus 150 or better that you can find now.
Paul, you gave out a winner last week on the show with Juventus in this one against Eindhoven. What do you like in that matchup tomorrow?
Yeah, so this was a 2-1 Juventus win in the first leg, which is more or less kind of what was deserved, I think, by the way the game went. So I like the draw here at plus 260. And the reasoning here, Juventus is kind of a defensive first team. And if they get a draw here, they will go through. So if this game is 0-0 or 1-1 in the last 10 minutes, Juve is not going to press forward to risk opening up the back and giving up a goal that would force extra time. So I just think that's the way Juve tends to play. That's their priorities on the whole. Their defense has been getting better. They lost one of their better center backs early in the year, and they've kind of been finding their way since then, but they're on the right track. So yeah, PSV didn't create much in the first leg. They're missing a couple key players like Malik Tillman because of injury. So yeah, I think plus 260 is a pretty good price when that's all Juve needs to get through.
Paul, I'm just kind of looking at the rest of the games going on today and tomorrow. Real Madrid, Man City, I know that was one you were looking at last week with the over. Expectation for goals, or is this a second leg where everything gets dialed back then?
Here's how much goals are expected here. So I played over 4.5 at plus 290 in the first leg.
Right.
And that got there with 3 goals in the last 10 minutes. Last I checked, over 4.5 was plus 190 in this one. So...
Wow.
They're expecting the same kind of insanity, which is very reasonable. because Man City is a possession team. Man City has to win this game to at least get to extra time. So they're going to have the ball, try to create something. And Real Madrid is probably the best team in the world on the counterattack, on, you know, taking advantage of the other team pushing too far forward. So it leads to goals one way or the other. And Madrid's also not that great defensively. So if City's pressing and pressing, you think they'll get a couple goals. Madrid can get a couple on the counters. I don't have a play in this game, but my lean, if anything, would be Real Madrid just to win this match specifically, because I think they'll have those counter opportunities. It's around minus 105 last I checked. So that's the way I would lean, but I don't have an official play here.
Paul, I want to wrap it up with the same club that we opened things talking about, Atalanta again, because last week, I mentioned this before when you came on, they were 20-1, 30-1 in that futures market, a team that you mentioned might be worth a look. Now they're up to 40-1, so the market not really, you know, going in their direction. Does that make them more appealing to you, or is there anyone else in the futures market that might have caught your attention here?
Nobody else super appealing, and yeah, I mean, it's obviously gone up because they didn't do very well in the first leg, and it was thought they'd kind of cruise there and cruise home. But I still think it's a decent price because I expect them to get through here. And again, it's about the draw. Their next opponent will be either Lille or Aston Villa, and Atalanta is going to be favored, I think, against either one of those teams. It gets tough in the quarters. Well, they'd probably run to Liverpool or Barcelona, but that's, I mean, you're just going to have a tough opponent in the quarters regardless. So you can't really worry about that. So yeah, I still think that's a decent price. It's obviously factoring in that first leg result, but now you can get 40-1 or so, and I still think, and they are more likely to go through. I think that's pretty good.
Paul, as always, man, sensational stuff. Really appreciate you hopping on. Thanks for the time.
You bet. Have a good one.
Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr. Check out the Expected Value podcast and True Media Sports. Kelly, you know, we were talking about this whenever we have Paul on, about how sometimes he'll come out here and he'll give his best bet, and you and Gil will be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to tail this. And then by the time you get home, you get in your office, start cracking down on some work for tomorrow's show, you're like, oh, shoot, game's in the 28th minute. That happened to me last week with his Juventus play. I was like, you know what? I'm going to play Juventus. No other reason than Paul gave it out. And, you know, I had my Italian pride working. So I was like, I'm going to play Juventus. And got home. Sure as anything, I look. Game's in about, it might have been halftime. Might have been like the break.
Yeah, it happens far too often for us on this show. There's no doubt about that. But that's why we'll just wait till this next break and then get in on Atalanta, okay? Might as well fire on that right now.
Well, that AC Milan match, that starts in just about an hour. And, yeah, I'm probably going to keep my hands in my pockets on that one, but I might get in on Atalanta. That one's at noon. Got plenty. Oh, I don't want to say got plenty of time because that's when it always creeps up on you.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Is there anything else going on today outside? Not just college hoops, huh?
Yeah,
that
college
means
hoops.
We got to give out more college hoops winners on the other side, doesn't it?
Yep, let's go.
Texas A&M, love that play. Also, you know, everything Will came on and say, the UConn game, I'm not going to get there on. This Huskies team is so unpredictable. But that BYU-Kansas game, this Kansas team, to Will's point, this is a team that has no identity. They look like, and Will said it, and I thought this was actually the best way of putting it, they look like they don't like each other. Like there's no team chemistry out there. These guys just, they don't play as a cohesive unit very well. They've got as much talent as any team in the top 10. Pound for pound, probably more than A&M. Yet Kansas, if they lose this game, they'll be unranked come next week.
That's crazy.
Crazy. Best bets up next. It's a numbers game. He's Kelly Bedlin. I'm Joe Cirillo.
Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game continues here, taking you through your Tuesday morning, February 18th, alongside Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo. Kelly, been a fun, fast-moving show. I got to say, we're keeping things entertaining on a pretty slow sports week.
I hope so. You tee me up for NBA stuff, and I just get going, so I don't know. I don't know where that first hour went.
I mean, yeah, I went to the Eastern Conference. You and Drew and your little bromance moment. I mean, that was like a little meet-cute with the Toronto Raptors. Yeah. that was cute. Yeah. I was just going to do the Collinsworth slide out of the picture, give you guys some alone time. Sorry, I don't want to stray too far from this piece of tape.
Yeah,
I know
watch
I
out. Savannah's going to get you. Savannah's going to get you after the show. Watch out.
Hey, you know what? At least Savannah's on top of stuff. I mean, I come in here for the graveyard shift most nights, and there's no one back there. I have to produce, do the graphics, and everything myself from this seat.
Yeah,
it's dead here that late.
Savannah, Brendan, Darnell, they all do that. All that stuff back there every day because I'm out here. So
we got a terrific team on the other side of the glass right now. You know what else we have? Some terrific bets. Best bets, which, of course, are brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Let's get into my best bet for the evening. Had three of them yesterday. Went 3-0. That's right. I got to remind you about that. Texas A&M catching 2 and a hook. We had some success with a road dog yesterday. Arizona at Baylor. Going to go A&M plus 2.5 at Mississippi State in this one. You look at Texas A&M, and they are one of the best covering teams in the SEC this year. They've been sensational. Mississippi State, not so much. First off, look at them straight up. In conference play, the Aggies, Buzz Williams, 7th-ranked squad, 9-3 straight up. Mississippi State, 6-6, very pedestrian for a team that's ranked 21st. Against the number, though, the Bulldogs are even worse. They're just 4-8 in conference play. A&M, 6-4-2 on the year as a whole. The Aggies covering it better than a 63% clip. Mississippi State, a league worst, 44% clip against the number on the year. So going to roll with the Aggies. I just think their defense is too good. They're going to stifle the Bulldogs offense and probably get a win outright, but I'm going to take the 2.5. Let's go, Kelly. What do you got for your best bet?
I like it. I got one today, nothing in action this evening, but I did add this win total we talked about earlier. We talked about it earlier in the segment. Raptors over 26.5 wins. Shop around. There are 27.5s out there. I found 26.5, though, flat at minus 110. I believe that was at MGM, I bet it. So over 26.5, look, this team is getting healthier. They've already been a tough team this year against the spread. We talked about that a lot this week. They're getting healthier, though. A lot of these guys coming back we haven't seen in a while. Manuel Quickley going to come back for this team playing healthy. You've got a lot of these guys. R.J. Barrett's missed some time. Grady Dix missed some time. They got Brandon Ingram in the mix now. Look, this is not a great team. We just talked about it a little bit earlier. Maybe they're in the mix for the play-in tournament. I doubt it. But 26.5 wins where they're at right now. All we're asking them to get is 10 more wins. They got the easiest remaining strength of schedule. Yes, there could be some higher end stuff. I might play a little 30 plus too, but this Raptors team with this remaining strength of schedule, I think they get there easily. Can go 10-17 over that mark and still get over. So 26.5 is where I'm going with the Raptors over that number. Drew Dinzik on the show. Jao Fonseca, I figured I'd help you out on this.
You know, I was just going to say, I am so relieved that you took it, because I was actually waiting for you to pause, and I was going to say, Kelly, why don't you tell us Drew's best?
Yeah, Joe, don't worry. That's my role in this show, because I don't even know if I got it right, but it was close enough, and I'm used to saying tennis names wrong on this show. So Jao Fonseca, 5-1 to win ATP Rio de Janeiro. He was saying he was skipping him on basically all the match prices, thought those were caught up, but did like the future play on him, a little bit smaller than what he played to him in the last tournament, I believe in Argentina, is where they were at. And then a popular play today, Atalanta laying a goal and a half at plus 125 for Drew Dinzik. Will Hill, a little bit all over the place, college basketball and Major League Baseball.
I could have taken the easy name, by the way. I would have been fine with Will Hill.
Yeah, right. UConn laying 8.5. Texas A&M, he's with you there, catching 2.5 with them. Then he's laying 2.5 with BYU. And a couple baseball futures. I believe a couple of these we have discussed when Will's been on in other guest spots. But Red Sox, he's got to make the playoffs. That one's new. A's over 71.5 wins. Reds over 78.5 wins. I keep doing that. Sorry, Brendan. I don't know why one has wins and one just says over 78.5.
Yeah, you know, I noticed that yesterday with my best bets that you had one of them. It had the, you know, plus Southeast Louisiana plus 8.5 against McNeese, and then Houston Christian was just plus 8.5. And I was like,
this show is a terrible
producer.
What the
hell are you doing right now?
Paul Carr, Atalanta to advance minus 130, said it's good up to minus 150. This one has moved, no surprise, because we've seen a lot of love from it from both Paul and Drew today. AC Milan and Fire Nude. I'm going to go with that, Drew. Under 2.5, plus 125. PSV Eindhoven.
Fire nude, is that? Wait, hold on. Backtrack it. Did you just say fire nude?
Fire nude? Something like that.
But we PSV were talking about Snapchat earlier, and now you're saying fire nude, and I don't know, Kelly. All right.
PSV Juventus draw, plus 260. That's everything, I believe, and check the AC Milan game. That's what I'm going to go with, Joe. I'm just going to go with that.
I think that's in about an hour.
I think that one was today. Yeah, 9:45, yeah, I think we had that mixed up on the graphic, too.
AC Milan is 9:45 a.m. Pacific time, so 55 minutes from now. And I was going to say tip-off. What do you call it?
Kickoff.
Ball drop?
No, it's a kickoff. It's just like a little kickoff compared to a football kickoff.
Okay, there we go. Kickoff. sure, 55 minutes from now. Best Bets brought to you by GBank, folks. GBank's up in the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new GBank Visa Signature Card customers. First, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of the account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now, VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions, of course, apply. Kelly, before we get ready to wrap things up here, I want to make one final college hoops point, and then we can look at some of these NFL awards markets because, you know, look, I'm not convinced if I'm going to tie anything up at this juncture in these markets, but there is one guy that stands out to me. Final college hoops point I want to make. That Kansas-BYU game, I keep looking at that. Yeah. And, you know, usually, again, look, we all know I'm used to hosting cashing out. I get the opening lines while I'm on air every night, especially because, you know, it's what? I wrap at 2 a.m. Eastern time. So we've got the opening lines out somewhere in the middle towards the end of my show. And it's nice, you know, it's fun to kind of say, all right, this is a game I'm going to wait on because I think the market's going to move in my favor. This is a game I'm going to play now because, I don't think you're going to find this value again. And every now and then you get one wrong. You know, we've been on the right side of quite a few. Southeast Louisiana, Houston Christian yesterday, waited, was on the right side by waiting. BYU opened 1.5. Now, first off, I don't know if I buy that. I didn't see 1.5 anywhere when this first came out. What I did see was 2.5, and I wanted to wait. I figured there'd be Kansas money pouring in, but I had no such luck. This is now, there is a straight 2.5, mainly 3, so it's actually come down a tick, but there are 3.5s out there with some 3s as well, and that's telling me that everyone is starting to get in on how much of an imposter, how fraudulent this Kansas Jayhawks team really is. Man, this is crazy. This is a team that preseason, I loved Kansas. And I thought they had all the talent in the world and obviously the great coach. I mean, look at that ATS number. Yeah. That's abysmal right there. They are also, I should point out, one of the best under teams in the entire nation.
So what, the defense has been there this year, but the offense is completely underperformed?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at them with the total, they're 19-6 to the under. 76% to the under. So, or you could also look at that from another avenue and say the offense really, the offense just ain't shooting that well. Yeah. And it's been a weird season for Kansas. They are certainly a team I'm going to look to be on upset alert, I would say, come March Madness. But at the same time, they might be playing their way down to a 7 or an 8 seed the way things are going. Like, if they lose this game, which at Provo, tough place to play. I mean, if they lose this game, they might not be ranked come next Monday.
Yeah, BYU money coming in. This did open 1.5 at post yesterday in the afternoon. A couple shops, DraftKings I'm looking at had 1.5. But yeah, you got FanDuel's out to 3.5 on this game now.
I wanted to go money line. I was thinking we'd surely get a pick 'em. Now, if you want BYU money line, you're laying at least 45 cents.
Yeah.
Final 90 seconds here, Kelly. So we'll run our own version of a 2-minute drill on the NFL awards. Any one particular name, one particular award stand out to you?
Oh man, there are a couple. I want to go a little bit deeper dive tomorrow on this though.
Absolutely.
On one of these conversations, because I think there's, I don't want to just throw out a name and not really explain it, because I think there's some trust that you have to have in some of these guys coming back from injury. I'll start though. MVP. I think there's a couple of these, and DraftKings did a great job getting all these posted so quick. Between the Super Bowl props and then this type of stuff, it's just every year this stuff comes out quicker. MVP, though, is Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes at the top of the board. I don't know about you, Joe. There's nobody else I could really consider besides those four names, just kind of period. But especially at this point, you got to worry about tying up your money for so long. Is that money that you can be placing elsewhere to get it turned over and make more of a profit before you roll into next football season? Also, how much are the odds really going to shift? I think those are ones to consider. I think that all
Jalen Hurts after that Super Bowl, 17-1.
Yeah, man, I just don't know. Like, this is, with all due respect to Jalen Hurts, like, this is the statistical monster seasons that we've gotten used to from Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow specifically, I think are going to be tough to overcome. And yeah. There's just a group there. I don't even know. I have an answer of who to pick. Defensive player of the year is just as boring again this year.
Yeah, I mean, I've got someone in the offensive player of the year award market that I'm really into, and we'll do it tomorrow. Money Moves, Stormy Bonantoni, Matt Brown up next. You folks don't want to miss it. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serralo. That's it for a numbers game.